Let me just pray, you guys, before we get into God's word today. I know it's so easy to get caught up. You know, you ever sit there and you're sitting here and you're thinking what I'm going to do later? Let's come to God's word to hear God's word. And let's just focus our heart. Let's focus on Him. And let's say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And Lord, how do you want me to obey your word today as we approach His living word? Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for another day that we can come before your presence. And I pray, Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, like that song said, in your presence, we're undone. Of course, Lord, I think of that verse, in your presence, I am full of joy in your presence. And so, Father, we come now to hear your word, your living word. Transform our lives. Speak to us today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you guys, today we are continuing through the book of James in our study called Putting Faith in Action. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to James chapter 3, verse 13. Now, I just want to focus for a moment on that very first part of verse 13, which says, a question by James where he says this, who is wise and understanding among you? I'm just going to stop right there for a moment. In the very first passage of this letter, James is posing a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? How many of you guys would raise your hands if James asked you that question? Of course, everyone loves Johnny. Johnny would raise his hands, no problem. But he's asking a question here. Who is wise and understanding among you? And I know probably no one would be willing to raise their hands except Johnny. But sometimes, you ever know, sometimes we think we're wise. We think we have the in, that we know what we're doing. But it's a serious question that he's going to explore in this passage of James. Because if you really think about this context, this question and this context of this passage is earlier in James 3:1. Let me just read that verse for you. It says this. James said, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. So at this portion of the letter, he's really writing this to people either who are in authority or who want to be teachers, who want to be a place in authority of the church. And he's really just saying to them here at the beginning of James 3, you know what? You guys, you're going to receive a stricter judgment. And then we saw last week, he talked about, you know what? Okay, you want to, you know, don't many of you become teachers because you receive a stricter judgment. And then he talks about the tongue and the dangers of the tongue. Because there were people in the church who really thought they should be teachers, who thought they should be in authority, but they weren't controlling their tongues. And James is really coming down on this, that, hey, you guys, if you're a teacher, you're going to be have a stricter judgment. You're having issues with your tongue, and that's not right. And then we come to this question here, who is wise and understanding among you? And he's going to answer that question this week. So the context really is to people who think they should become teachers, who think they should be in authority. Because if you remember in James 1:26, it said this, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So he really hits many different subjects that people are struggling in within the church. And then James comes to this question, who is wise and understanding among you? But first, before we talk about wisdom today, we first need to understand knowledge. What is the difference when you ask about if you're wise? We need to know, okay, there's wisdom and then there's knowledge. What is knowledge compared to wisdom? Knowledge is collecting information and collecting facts. We read our Bibles, we gain knowledge. You go to work and you're learning a new trade or whatever, you're gaining knowledge on the things that you come across, the things that you learn from people. It is a collection of information and facts. When I started doing heating and air conditioning, I would carry my dad's tool bag, like he did with his dad, but he started at 8 years old. But they'd carry the tool bag, and my dad would begin to tell me about heating and air conditioning. I was gaining knowledge about how the equipment operated and how it worked. And yes, knowledge is important, because we see in Solomon said in Proverbs 1:7, he said this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So here we see that knowledge is important, but to grow in knowledge, we need the fear of God. What is the fear of God? R.C. Sproul said this quote: "The fear of the Lord is the only basis of true knowledge. This fear is not a distrustful terror of God, but rather the reverent awe and worshipful response of faith to the God who reveals himself as Creator, Savior, and Judge." So the more we come to know God, the more we have that reverent view of who he is, that we begin to worship God, we can grow in the knowledge of God. So knowledge is a gathering of facts, a gathering of information. But then we come now to the question that James is saying in this passage: how many of you are wise among you? Now we come to what wisdom is. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. You know, and when I learned the heating and air conditioning, my dad told me all this stuff, but when he started throwing me out there, it was really scary when I'd be out there and there would just be this 60-year-old gentleman watching me do a job that I'm new at. That's tough. He was teaching me knowledge. There's still things I was awkward at. Now it's applying what I've learned from my dad, and that was not very easy. But wisdom is the application of knowledge. In a similar way, just like we are called to be hearers of God's word, we gain knowledge. The doer of God's word is wisdom. So we can have all the knowledge we want, but unless if we're only hearers of God's word, we deceive ourselves. In a similar way, knowledge here is the gaining of facts about God, and wisdom is beginning to live it out in our daily life. To live it out in our daily life. So we as Christians, yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge, but as Christians, we are also to grow not only in knowledge, but in wisdom. And as Solomon said in Proverbs 9:10, it says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So again, I ask you a question: how many of you are wise among you? It's interesting, in Proverbs, Solomon kind of paints a picture of wisdom as this woman crying out for people to come to her. "Come to me. Come, I'll give you life. Come to me, I'll give you wisdom." And she's crying out to these people, but many are rejecting her and not following her ways. And he paints this picture that she's crying out for people to come and gain wisdom and to gain life. And if you look in Proverbs chapter 3, when they describe wisdom, they would say, "Sure, her profit is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels. She is a tree of life, though, to those who lay hold of her." How many here would love to have jewels? Would love to have diamonds or gold? That's me. Right? Kelly came and shared about this place he's going to where they dig up these things as property, and you can find these, whatever you find on that property of 30 or whatever acres, they let you keep it in Indiana. Huh? Arkansas. So you get to keep these big things. People found these big diamonds and rocks and whatever. Wisdom is jewels. It's finding a treasure. So are we not only to grow in knowledge, we are also to grow in wisdom. We are to grow in wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And I guess the way to understand even the difference between knowledge and wisdom is this. Knowledge is knowing how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and when to keep it holstered. Knowledge is understanding the light is red. Wisdom is applying the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand, but wisdom walks around it. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. Wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns of God. Wisdom loves God. The difference between knowledge and wisdom. So as Christians, we are to increase in knowledge, but also wisdom. You know, more and more, I believe that this is one of the greatest tragedies within the American church. We think we are wise because of our knowledge. You know, my brother Jeff came for Christmas, and you know what he said about the church, a North American church? That, you know, we're known here for having great teachers and pastors. Okay, great. I said, that's good. Okay. But when it comes to community, we're not good at it. We're not good at, like, our churches aren't really good at building true, authentic communities. If you really look at that, should that not be sad? That's telling that we're having knowledge, but we're not wisdom of living it out. That our nation, that we get this kind of, there's like this arrogance in our wall. Oh, you know, I know, like one of my favorite people is R.C. Sproul. And you hear these people, oh, they're great. And we fill our mind and you look at this and the attributes of God and theology. Woohoo! And we feel that's so important, and it is in many ways, but we stay at knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. It's not living out God's word just to have knowledge. And I believe that within the American church, we are so caught up in knowledge and we think it's wisdom. And the problem with that is knowledge, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. We need to be wise and to walk in wisdom. Now we come back to the question of the book of James, who is wise and understanding among you? And now James will address the subject of wisdom. If you have your Bibles, James chapter 3, verse 13, I'll read the whole verse this time. It says this, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. If you are truly, or if I am truly wise, how you live your life will reveal the authenticity, the genuineness of your wisdom. And one big characteristic of wisdom is humility. Unlike knowledge, which is pride, it's puffed up. I know how to do this. I know how to do it better. I know this thing. Wisdom is, what can I do? Wisdom is love. How it's humble. It builds up. It comes in, and it doesn't, it's not arrogant and proud. And here he talks about by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom does not come, I know how to do it. I could do it better. This is the way we're going to do it. It comes in and it walks in love. It is not puffed up. It is not proud. Wisdom is humble. But what's interesting here is James is going to come and bring two types of wisdom into the scenario. He's going to come, okay, you know, who are wise among you? And he's going to say there's two types of wisdom. And there is a worldly wisdom, and then there's a spiritual heavenly wisdom. And he's going to break that down for us to help us look at ourselves and say, which wisdom do I walk in? Which wisdom do I have in my own life? A worldly wisdom and a spiritual wisdom. And as we go through this, I want to put up a slide here. I listened to a message this week by Pastor Jeff Miller. And as he unfolds the book of James, he talks about when James talks about wisdom, worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. He unfolds the origin of that wisdom, the operation of that wisdom, and the outcome of the wisdom. So I mean by, with worldly wisdom, where is it originated from? How does it operate? And what's the outcome? With heavenly wisdom, where did it come from? How does it operate? And what's the outcome? So let's look at these two types of wisdom. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 to 17, let me read this passage to you. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not a wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Here we see worldly wisdom. We see the origin of it. It does not come from above. It is earthly, it's fleshly, it's demonic. It comes from our flesh. It is a wisdom that is influenced by demonic powers in that spiritual battle that you and I face. It is a wisdom not from above, demonic, selfish, caught up in itself. That is the wisdom of the world. And then we see how it operates. How does this worldly wisdom operate? Bitter jealousy. Have you ever eaten something bitter? You kind of put it in your mouth. You know, sometimes different types of food is very bitter. It's like some cruciferous vegetables such as kale. I don't like kale. Does anyone like kale? If it's a small amount, I mean, it can be bitter. You know, bitter is a sharp, pungent taste or smell. Some sprouts or arugula can be bitter. But this person who displays this wisdom, which is the application of knowledge, this person, how they live out, they walk around in bitter jealousy. In a way they live, their life is their flavor of their life is bitter. They're angry. They're resentful of others. And they're jealous of what they have. They're bitter maybe against and jealous against what people have. Maybe a person's house, a person's spouse, or what they have, the opportunities that person has, the job he has, how he's being successful. There's this bitter jealousy because it's all caught up in themselves. So this person lives out their worldly wisdom. I just think of politics in this, right? Wisdom. People are all caught up in themselves. They want to be recognized. It's all about me, me, me. Selfish ambition, jealousy, wanting the power of others. And we can see that in our lives. We can see that within our churches where people struggle with that. They have selfish ambition in their heart. This person is only for themselves. And they don't model the humility of Christ that we see in Philippians 2, where they do not only look out for their own interests, but they look out for the interests of others. Those people that are walking in bitter jealousy do not do that. Their lives are consumed only with themselves. And as it says here in verse 14 of James 3, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, this is not the wisdom that comes from above. And now we see also the outcome of this type of wisdom in James 3:16, for where James says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. The outcome of this type of wisdom is disorder. And when I think of disorder, I think of confusion, instability, and also every vile practice. And of course, when I think of every vile practice, I think of that passage in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, where Paul describes the work of the flesh in this way. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here James describes the origin, the operation, the outcome of the worldly wisdom. And you guys, we as Christians battle with this flesh. We all do. We all, this week, will walk in some worldly wisdom. It's part of the battle of the flesh. But we now have the Spirit of Jesus. And as we walk with Him, as we will see, you can start putting on the wisdom from above. But we all operate sometimes in both wisdoms as we walk and we become transformed. We are in battle with our flesh. We can walk out in worldly wisdom in our families, our spouses, our friends, churches. You see in churches, if we all said, accepted Christ, all walked in spiritual wisdom, there'd be never any church division. There would never be all of these struggles of power. But we as a church, as people, struggle with worldly wisdom of selfishness. But now we come to heavenly spiritual wisdom. And let me just read this passage here. James 3:16-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So here we see James doing a very similar thing here, where he shows the origin, the operation, and the outcome of spiritual, this heavenly wisdom. Let's look at the origin. This wisdom is from above. This is a wisdom that you cannot make up on your own. This is not a wisdom that you can stir up and try. It begins with what? The fear of God, a relationship with God. The more you get to know Him, the more you're in awe of Him, and your wisdom begins to grow from knowledge to knowing to living out your faith. So the origin's from above. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. The operation, how does it manifest its way? How does it manifest in ways? It can manifest in a way a person lives, or even in the words that someone speaks will testify to the person if it's wisdom or not. Is this person walking in wisdom? You know, this really is a great tool. This passage here is a great tool when it comes to relationships with others. If someone speaks something into your life, how do you know if it's wisdom from God? If you're in a leadership in the church and leaders come and they say something that God's put something on their heart and they come out and they boom it, does it pass this test of being wisdom from God, or is it of the flesh? So how does it operate? First, pure. Do you see how James worded this passage here? But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, and then he goes to other things, is pure. Pure, innocent, chaste, clean. When I think of pure, of course, I always think of that image of gold. When you would take and they would mine gold and it'd be mixed with different type of elements or different types of rock, and they'd go through and they'd begin to boil it, and they'd boil that gold and the impurities would come up and they'd scoop off impurities, and that gold then would become worth much more because it is a pure gold. A pure gold. You remove the dross, and it becomes more pure, more expensive, and it's worth more. The wisdom from God is first pure. And you know what it reminds me of? Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Purity. Purity is huge, yet how many of us struggle with it? And there's so many rabbit holes I can go down with purity, about purity when it comes to sexually, in marriage, in relationships, and how we are to live a pure life. But when I thought about this passage, one thing that really jumps out to me about purity is this. When you look at worldly wisdom, it's all about self. Here, it's all about purity. I think a purity of motive, purity of heart and going on why you are pursuing a certain thing. It is a purity. Worldly wisdom is selfish. Spiritual wisdom is pure. The intentions of the person, are loving and not for selfish gain, completely different than worldly wisdom. There's a purity to motive and intention when that person speaks. The words he says and the way they live their life is a display of purity. And you could go much further into how you live your life in line with God's word. It will display the purity of walking with God. But the person's motives are pure. We also see peaceable. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:9? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This person, spiritual wisdom always promotes peace. So if someone comes in, oh, I'm going to tell you the truth, and they go in and they ramrod over everybody, they are not walking in spiritual wisdom. You know what's interesting, though, is people could start out in one. They could start out in the spirit and walk out in the flesh. Like you see in Galatians, where the Galatians people were going out and they accepted Jesus. All of a sudden, they're going back and they're trying to gain favor through the law of God. And he's like, what? You began in the spirit. Now you're trying to work it out in the flesh. There's a spiritual, so we can begin in one area. And that's what happens in relationships. So spiritualism always promotes peace. The person wants to promote unity in relationship in any situation. Where there are turbulent waters, they want to bring calm in the situation. A huge difference between worldly wisdom is that it brings disorder and confusion. You ever go out to eat with a group of people and you ask them this question? Where do you want to eat? Sometimes that brings disorder in a way. Yeah, you know, people that don't have a lot of decisions. You know, it's like my wife. I'm like, I know what I want. And sometimes my wife takes a while and she'll ask the waiter, right, what they want, you know, right? We've gone on dates where you ask, where do you want to go? And no one's really like, oh, I like this place. One time we put names. And one place I like to go to eat, I know it's not a very popular place. Once in a while, I don't mind going to Golden Corral. Do I ever go there? I haven't been there in years and years and years and years. I just sometimes I don't mind going there and pick out what I want to eat. My wife thinks it's a cafeteria. Why do I want to go on a date to a cafeteria? So we were some friends of ours, and we said, no one's like, oh, we want to go here. What do we do? It's kind of one of those indecisive, it's not disorder, but in a sense, confusion. And so we put the names in. Of course, I put Golden Corral. And who got to go to Golden Corral? Because no one can make a decision. But disorder, there's that confusion. No one knows where you're going, what's happening. That's worldly wisdom brings disorder. There's also gentle. The wisdom works out as gentle. Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is meekness? It's power under control. Of course, you could definitely use that. I think sometimes with our military, where these guys have so much training, but they don't always have to use. They know when to use it, and when to be meek, gentle, and not use it. It is power under control, sensitive to others. What is the opposite of gentle? Unkind and brutal. This wisdom displays itself in being gentle. Also, this wisdom displays itself in, it's open to reason. And of course, I think, what's the opposite of someone who's open to reason? Stubbornness. Now, there's no people that are stubborn here at all. Right? I never get stubborn with my wife. But there are some, I admit, are much more stubborn than others. This person operates as open to reason. It's not my way or the highway. This person's open to discussion, open to talking, open to respecting one another. And then we come to full mercy. Jesus said this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Wisdom overflows with mercy. How many people in the church don't do that? We have such a knowledge of how you should live your life. But when people don't, are we full of mercy in our response? We know, right or wrong, that's the knowledge, puffs up. But are we going to apply the love of Jesus? It just so amazes me that Jesus, who is perfect in every way, yet sinners were drawn to him. Think about that. Perfect. Sometimes we think we're spiritual, people aren't going to want to be around us because we have it. Jesus was perfect. Yes, sinners were drawn because of his love. He was full of mercy. Full of mercy. It does not quickly jump to judgment or easily critical of others. Do you recall what James said earlier in James 2:13? For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment in James 2:13. This wisdom is full of mercy. This wisdom is also full, it's impartial. And as David Kennedy shared, we show prejudice towards others. We make judgments about someone maybe because of the way they look, how they act, and we make this internal judgment of why they are what they are, yet this wisdom is impartial. Only God can judge the heart and the motives of man's heart. This wisdom is also sincere. This wisdom is not hypocritical. Do you know a word hypocrite is rooted in the Greek word hypocrites, which mean stage, actor, pretender, dissembler. In the ancient world, when they would act, they would take these masks, and the masks would make them into that character. They were known as the idea of being sincere, the idea of being a hypocrite comes from those actors who would put on something that they were not to pretend to be something that they were not. So the wisdom from above operates so differently, you guys, from worldly wisdom. And then, of course, James comes to the outcome, the harvest of righteousness. Spiritual wisdom produces, when I think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A harvest of righteousness. So now let's put this worldly wisdom, spiritual wisdom. How can we apply that to our lives? Not all of us are married, but if you are, when there is disagreement and conflict in your marriage, how do you respond? Worldly wisdom? Selfishness? Bitter jealousy? Vile things? How do you respond? Is it a display of worldly wisdom? Is it a display of spiritual wisdom? When you come into it, are you, like I said, selfish, bitter, jealous, anger, or do you come over and it's pure, it's peaceable, and you begin to work out the spiritual wisdom? That's really hard in marriage at times. Friends. A friend is making some bad decisions and you need to confront that situation. Are you going to display worldly wisdom or spiritual wisdom? What are your motives? Why are you wanting to deal with that in that person's life? Are you approaching them with full of mercy, willing to reason? Or are you just getting angry because, man, that person's doing this and he's hurting your friend here and there, and you come out worldly and angry with them? How do you display wisdom, a spiritual wisdom or worldly wisdom? What about church members? Did you know if we walked in spiritual wisdom, it would wipe out all gossip and backbiting in our churches? Wisdom filters its words. The words that someone who speaks from the wisdom that's above is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and it goes on. What words do we as members say to each other, about each other, around each other? What words are they full of spiritual wisdom or worldly wisdom? And of course, then we come also how we can apply this as into our leaders of the church. How do I as a pastor know if a person is displaying a wisdom of the world or spiritual wisdom? People come to me all the time. Well, we should be doing this in the church, or things that we should be doing, this or that. when they come, I'm not saying they may even come with something from the Spirit, but we must look at, are they displaying the wisdom of God? How often in our leadership means we have these agendas, we have these ideas, and the person comes and they have an idea, they think it's from God, and they display it. Hey, we have a filter thing right here. We have in God's word right here a test. Is it wisdom from God or is it not? Some guy comes, a pastor, a leader comes to me, oh, this is how we could change the church. We need to do this and this and this. And they come with all this. But when they come, do they come in purity? Are they being peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy? Or are they just coming, oh, these are things I like. These are things I don't like. We need to do this. What is their heart? So today, I want to ask you a question as we worship team come forward. Are we walking in wisdom? Who is wise and understanding among you? Are you walking in the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the world? Here's a question I'd like to close with. How do you grow in wisdom? One word. How do we grow in wisdom? Yes, I talk about fear of God. I'll say something different than that. What's one word that we grow in the wisdom of God? Jesus. 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 You could try all day trying to gain spiritual wisdom or whatever. But do you remember in our study in Colossians 2:3? In Jesus is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to walk in spiritual wisdom, you need Jesus. Just take a moment and think about that. Jesus. Where is Jesus in your life? All comes down to that. Do you know you can't bear fruit? You can't bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, without abiding in Jesus? You cannot be a true witness of Jesus without abiding in Him. You can't be a good witness for Him. You can't be victorious over areas of guilt and condemnation without Jesus. It all comes to Jesus. Where is Jesus in your life, in my life? Are you taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus and fall in love with Him? Because more we get to know Jesus, we begin to dig into the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all about Jesus. For years and years, I struggled with guilt and condemnation. I had to earn God's love. I needed to do this. I needed to do that. Until one day, God began. I was in New Zealand. I did some hitchhiking around the South Island of New Zealand. I went to see some friends. But I remember one time on that trip, I was reading a scripture, and it just jumped out to me. And that passage was from Luke. I think it's Luke chapter 10, where Mary and Martha were hanging out, serving with Jesus, and Mary's at Jesus' feet, and Martha's all busy and stressed with serving. And I remember I read that passage, and the Lord said to my heart through His word, He said this, "Read, before you could truly obey me, you must first be in love with me." I was doing all this from trying to earn, trying to do this, and I wasn't in love with Him because I felt like I needed to do this to earn His love. I needed to understand His love so then I could begin to obey Him. Because when I know His love, we cannot help but fall in love with Jesus. Where is Jesus in your life? I say, Jesus, I come to you because I'm a failure, but I need Jesus. And as we worship in closing today, I ask you to say this in your heart. Lord, Father, I want to know Jesus. Because you know what? When you get to know Jesus, you know the Father. Can you say that to, was it Philip? Oh, show us the Father, Jesus. Philip, have you been with me so long and yet you've not known me? He who knows me knows the Father. If you want to know God, because Jesus is God, Jesus is a manifestation of God on earth. If you want to know God, we need to know Jesus. So if I could give you any peace to go home with today, this week, get consumed in looking into Jesus. if it's the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, which Lord willing, I want to start teaching through the Gospel of Luke. Let's get focused on Jesus. He is full of the wisdom. He is the wisdom from God to us. Let's worship.